Lord, may the message I share be your message, and may we rejoice to know that you are our Lord. Amen. One Sunday, I looked at the communion table here in Living Faith Church and realized it would be almost 50 years that I've been ministering from it. I stood by it in August 1969 when I was being inducted at Richmond Hill Congregational Church in Pemberton to the joint pastorate with St. Paul's Hindley. 3 years later, we became the United Reformed Church by Act of Parliament as the Congregational Church in England and Wales merged with the Presbyterian Church in England. I brought the Oral Church into the United Reformed Church 2 years later and ministered here also. Whilst I was serving in Lee for 22 years, the Pemberton Church in 1984 joined here with the Oral Church. Hence the presence of this communion furniture here with us now today, kindly left for the use of Living Faith Church when they came into the building. It was crafted from English oak at the instigation of Peter Gaskell, a member of the church and a director of Clough and Gaskell's electric cabinet works on Billinge Road, Springbank, and installed in 1949 as a memorial for those from Richmond Hill Fellowship who'd fallen in the two world wars. The outline of the Rose of Lancaster can be seen within the carvings of the rail. And I'm mindful that we have 9 red roses on our Wigan MBC coat of arms, representing our 9 communities. We see the Bible opened on the table, the Word of God, on which we depend for spiritual sustenance and strength. The verse I would like to share with you this morning is one to which I've often been drawn. It's a promise from the Old Testament, found as we would have heard in our first reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, and reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Let me first set the verse in its context. Shortly after 597 BC, the prophet Jeremiah was delivering God's message via a written letter to the Israelites. They'd been taken captive by the Babylonians, exiled into a foreign kingdom where God intended them to settle peacefully and remain for 70 years until they should return to their homeland and to Jerusalem. The Israelites were told by God, whilst they were there, to intercede for the Babylonian people, for their peace. But false prophets soon uttered contrary advice, telling them to rebel, give up their obedience to King Nebuchadnezzar. The false prophets were also misleading the people when they advised them that their stay would be shortened. So it was, to counter what the false prophets were saying, God sent the message saying that their teaching was wrong, telling his people he had plans to prosper them. The word for prosper is not a very good translation, for it's not the equivalent of prosperity that we think of in economic terms. The Hebrew word is shalom, meaning completeness, wholeness, harmony, peace. So God's plans were always for the welfare of his people. Plans to take care of you and not to abandon you. That's how we read more accurately in the Message translation. Indeed, it is important for us to realize that God has plans for each of our lives when we live as believing Christians, trusting him to lead us and direct us in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to give special thanks for God enabling me to continue my calling to minister the gospel to men, women, and children with people in Wigan over the last 50 years. Folk have been so encouraging. They've helped to shape my ministry in so many aspects. It's never grown stale because there have been frequent challenges into new ventures. And it's so enlightening to walk the Christian way with others and see Christ's presence reflected through them. I've been blessed by eloquent, forthright people who shared their thoughts and opinions and criticisms and taken a lead, as well as by the more unassuming people who quietly kept in the background. All of them have been so faithful. There was Mr. Izzard, who came to the Hindley Church, dressed in his cap and Sunday suit, bedecked with albert and pocket watch. He used to sit three rows from the front on the right-hand side. Sadly, he was profoundly deaf. So I wrote out for him the order of service and a synopsis of the sermon each week. When I asked him one day why he came to church regularly when he couldn't hear, his answer to me was this: if I can't spend an hour a week thanking God for his goodness to me, then I would be ungrateful for the life he has given me. Profound words. He never heard the children when they came to the front to sing, but as soon as they started to walk back, Mr. Izzard started fiddling in his pocket, pulling out coins to hand to each one before they went back to their seats. How encouraging. One further act was so typical of him. Each Christmas morning, he would have open house for anyone who cared to drop in for a traditional breakfast. Neighbours living alone, men on the road were most welcome. Mr. Izzard taught me an important lesson, that of thanking God for all his gifts. I give thanks for the friendship of clergy from many denominations and for the opportunity to minister in so many churches in our borough. When I first came to Wigan, Canon John Park from All Saints Church invited me to the hall for the monthly clergy meetings. I was the only female amongst three dozen or more present. Following the meeting, some of us enjoyed further conversation over lunch in the Chinese restaurant on Market Street. It was good for 9 years to join with the clergy and members of the churches on Pemberton for their annual whip walks. Sadly, I know in so many places that tradition has now died out. Although here in Oral, we still maintain our work of witness for the churches together. When my Lee church was arsoned and we were holding services and meetings in Sankey's Chapel of Rest, Father Arthur Fitzgerald of 12 Apostles Roman Catholic Church, West Lee, invited us to join in their Maundy Thursday service which included the washing of the feet. When it came to the Eucharist, I was able to celebrate at a side altar with the people in our tradition, whilst our Catholic friends were celebrating at their altar. And then the link continued, for during the dedication service of our new sanctuary, quite unexpectedly, Father Arthur presented us with a beautiful chalice from his congregation. The letters of Jesus were inscribed round the base. There was a yellow gemstone in the centre, yellow symbolising faith and the glory of God. I give thanks too for the many occasions I've joined in civic events, in mayoral services and dinners, and Remembrance Sunday services. For 19 years, I marched with the parade through Lee from the Marsh Gymnasium to read the gospel lesson at the cenotaph service in the small park behind the church. There was also the St. George's Day parade here in Wigan, and on one occasion soon after my arrival, I was the speaker in the Odeon Cinema. I've been happy to encourage the guide and scouting organisations in my churches joining in their activities, camping with ranger guides in my garden, attending a jamboree and a campfire at Bispham Hall, singing on stage at the annual gang show in the hall behind here. Two Queen's guides received their rewards at a service in this church from the Guide Commissioner. I also give thanks to God for two extended ministries. The first having the great honour to be the chaplain to the chairman of the Greater Manchester County Council, to Mr. Dan Bennett, who represented our Wigan MBC and Oral from May 1976 to June 1977. Wigan had the fourth largest population of the 10 constituent districts. The monthly meetings were held in the Council Chamber of Manchester Town Hall, and I was privileged to open with a thought and a prayer. And I share with you now the one which I read in August. I began, "Jesus was prompted to speak a parable as he looked into the eye of his listeners, and the message was clear cut. The words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 6. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is sound," the Greek word implies single and generous, "your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is not sound, your whole body will be full of darkness." My comment for food for thought: vision is precious, whichever way we consider it, and we desperately need it in life. And so the prayer. I remained for the deliberations each month, listening especially to the contributions made by our other 12 elected Wigan councillors. It was such a great year to remember, with so many functions to attend. To name just a few: the ecumenical service in Manchester Cathedral, the opening of Nicholmere Primary School, Ashton, and the exhibition we staged here in this church and hall, representing the concerns of the council: roads, passenger transport, police, fire service, Manchester Airport, recreation, etc. Also the Mayor's, Councillor Eckersley's charity, and the Chairman's charity. Two other mayors came to support the event during the week, as the police chief and the fire chief. My other extended ministry lasted 12 and a half years under the Wigan and Lee Area Health Authority. I served as part-time Free Church chaplain to Lee Infirmary and for a short period to the Firth Maternity Home until its closure. And during this time I saw the hospital grow with the psychiatric ward and the psychogeriatric wards, which I was present at for the dedication, and also the new prayer centre. On more somber occasions, I officiated at the opening of the privately owned Howbridge Crematorium, which was to relieve the pressure on the Wigan one at Lower Inns. And later, together with Father Fitzgerald, we arranged and shared the service for the unveiling of the monument and dedication of the area for the stillborn babies in the Lee Cemetery. By the numbers who gathered for that service, we realised what a solace it would be for them. And I give special thanks that Wigan MBC and the churches can dovetail together to support the more vulnerable to live in the community. Lee URC was greatly blessed when several adults with mental and physical impairment were welcomed into our evening worship. It was Tommy Ellison that brought us real joy. He'd spent his days in Calderstone's mental hospital until the decision to move patients into the community with the necessary medical and social care support. I'd learned about that venture sometime earlier when Baroness Trumpington had addressed the Wigan Area Health One Day Conference at Hay Hall, organised by Tony Bradbrook. She was a keen advocate of the scheme, especially for improving the quality of life of those being shut in institutions for years. So Tommy was housed in a flat in Lowton, along with John, with 24/7 cover. He did a little job at the Broadmead Day Centre Monday to Friday. He told me that on Sunday mornings, sometimes a friend came along and took him to Mass in the Goulburn Catholic Church. It was obvious he'd been to church services in Calderstones, but was unable to say very much about them. More importantly, he would often say with a smile, "Jesus loves me, Miss Williams. Jesus loves me." Thank God, he received comfort and strength from that simple faith. That faith that he expressed so simply, yet it went so deep for him. And so it should for each one of us. Because to know the love of Jesus, to live in relationship with him, is what makes Christianity unique amongst the other world faiths. Tommy couldn't read, but he tried to remember words from hymns, the more repetitive ones being easier. And he so loved to sing a short verse as a solo, and he was blessed with a pleasing baritone voice. One Sunday evening, though, he couldn't contain his excitement. "I've got a family, Miss Williams, I've got a family." And we all shed tears of happiness for him, for his large family, whom he'd never known, had been traced. And they were arranging to get together in a pub in Liverpool to welcome him. I spoke to his sister, and he showed me later the pictures of the reunion. There was a huge banner saying, "Welcome, Tommy," and a special cake, which he particularly loved. His home remained in Loughton until his death. Be assured this morning that God, the Creator, has plans for each of us as we heed his call, as we step out in faith. It's foolishness to hold back, for we have limitless opportunities before us. As we commit ourselves to Christ and allow him to lead us, he knows the places where we should be, the work we should do, the time and the years we are given. Never forget, your life matters. You can make a difference wherever he set you. God has had plans for my life, and he still has. And the best is yet to come. I pray that in faithfully following God's lead, others have been blessed as much as myself during my 50 years ministry here in Wigan. God bless each one of you for sharing with me and making this day special. Amen.